Welcome to Open Minds, the weekly sermon podcast from Christ Church Anglican Cathedral in Vancouver, Canada. Reflections provoking thought at the intersection of faith and culture.
As some of you here know, I begin my class each year in the fall at VST by asking the students to tell me why they are there. The fact that I teach a required course means that I have to phrase this in a particular way. I ask them, what question brought you here? And I have no doubt that they are curious, and rightly so, about the history of Christianity, methodology of pastoral planning, the dates of 2 Kings. But I hear no questions about such things, at least at that juncture. One by one, the questions that they have brought with them fill the board. Some are weighty questions, long carried. Others are on their way to being ripe, to becoming more open and honest. It takes time and courage to form a good question, years most often. And on the blackboard every year, inevitably, there are questions to do with what life is for, whether it means or amounts to anything in the end. And there are questions about love, how to love, what to love. And there are questions about suffering, the why of suffering, and what to do about suffering. And questions of purpose, the quest for some way to spend life in the direction of something larger or more meaningful than what one was doing to that point. And some are even bold enough to ask God questions, who and whether God is. And each year, more and more questions are set in the context of what's happening in the world around us. Students, like all of us, are aware that these are not just difficult times, but dangerous ones. And they frame their questions in the context of climate change and poverty and war and other stresses of globalization. Stresses like mental illness and addiction, loneliness, and the disintegration of community life. And lately, the blackboard also contains words like xenophobia and tyranny and nationalism, all bound up in the questions that they bring about suffering, about God, about love, about the church, about hope and salvation. What brought you here, I ask. I could ask them, what are you longing for? Questions overlap. And we sit together with those questions, each one a manifestation of their own yearning for the light. A room full of Simeons and Annas, setting their lives in the direction of their desire, taking on the contours of what they most long to witness. An end to poverty, the revelation of God, a path to reconciliation, a victory of compassion, the world made new. And it's true that we are shaped by what it is we long for. The Spirit tugs at the hole in our heart on its way to leading us to the light. And this is, after all, what the Spirit does. The Spirit brings us to life through animating our desire for God, for God's day to dawn, for Christ's own life to take on this world's flesh again and again. In this and every moment, in this and every time, a light in every darkness. The Spirit makes us more human by helping us to hunger for more than bread, a holy human hunger for evidence of God's presence among us. And this same hunger for God is the one the Spirit animated in Simeon. As Luke reports it, Simeon took Jesus in his arms and knew that his waiting was over. Simeon had grown wise in the waiting. He was exquisitely shaped by the contours of what he prayed for, and he prayed for nothing less than the salvation of God's people. Across religious traditions, wisdom is associated with sight. The wise one is the seer, sometimes with a vision for the future, as the prophet Anna had, but more often with the power of perception. The sage is the one who pays intense attention, who notices, who is fully and consistently awake. Whether we're distracted from or disinterested in or disturbed by reality, very few of us are able to remain consistently awake to it. Most of us are awake only to the extremes. The breakthrough beauty of the meteor shower the night that we slept out by the lake, or the shot through terror of a tragedy. We awake, if we awake at all, Annie Dillard wrote, to mystery, rumors of death, beauty, and violence. So being awake takes courage, and staying awake is a virtue of faith. Simone Weil equated it with love, to look and to not turn away. It isn't easy because pure attention is indiscriminate. To the attentive eye, the world in all its searing beauty comes rushing into the soul, but so too the opposite. Into rushes the world's cruelty. And the same eyes that see the moss-covered trees see the teenager with a needle in her arm. It's certain that that kind of attention carves a deep longing in your heart. Perhaps it's the kind of longing that being widowed after only 7 years carved in the heart of the prophet Anna. Perhaps the way grief has carved the same in yours. Holding open that concave longing is what Luke called expectation. He called it wisdom. He called it prophecy. It's a way of seeing that takes in beauty and pain, the falling and the rising, the consolation and the sword. It's a profoundly truthful way of seeing the world the way that it is. An attentiveness that leaves nothing out and no one behind. Anna and Simeon were awake, awake to reality and shaped by the concave contours of their longing, attentive even to the dark, so of course they would be the first ones to recognize the light. They waited attentively in the world the way it is for a Messiah to redeem the world the way it is. Why would we want a Messiah to bring salvation to any other world but the real one? In praising the light that came into the world, we praise a light that illumines all that is, a light that awakens us and stirs a spirit-led longing within us, a holy human hunger to meet God enfleshed in this world, not just once in the life of Jesus, but over and over and over again in every triumph of love and life over all that threatens and diminishes it. Perfecting attention, as the prophets and sages do, is rare and difficult. But practicing it is a common vocation. School counselors pay attention to lonely students. Nurses pay attention to those who are ill. Researchers pay attention to the cause and the cure. Covenant House pays attention to youth who are hurt and stigmatized. The World Wildlife Federation pays attention to endangered species. Reconciliation Canada pays attention to communities that have been historically wronged. I believe that every act of attention, of noticing what is real, of refusing to forget or neglect or abandon or ignore, carves a concave longing in the heart of the universe for love to enter and for light to shine. Each act of attention is a spirit-led echo of Simeon's own expectation, and each gesture of attention is a micro-epiphany of the one who leaves no one out and nothing behind, the one who redeems and saves. In one wildly anachronistic version of the tradition of Candlemas, Saint Bridget, whom the church also celebrates today, leads Mary with Jesus and Joseph into the temple, bearing a candle in each hand. It's a lovely image and thoroughly acceptable in the Christian imagination. Because with Jesus, every moment is eternal, not because it lasts forever, but because it draws on all that went before and all that's coming after. It draws on every instance when love triumphs, and when justice prevails, when compassion heals, when the hungry are fed and the enslaved are freed. Every victory is today's victory. So Jesus' life is in Bridget's, and hers is in his. And those he loved, she loves. And those she loved, the babies and the midwives and the boatmen and the poets, he loved in her. He led her to God. She led him into the temple. When you play with time that way, we share everything. So who would we place in the procession to the temple today then? A candle in each hand. Who would come bearing the light of Christ by which Christ redeems and saves the world, raises and mends it? In truth, perhaps it's those whose reality has awakened us, who have pulled the world into that concave posture of holy expectation, who have formed our collective longing for the triumph of love and life in this world. Perhaps it's they who bear the light of Christ. Perhaps it is those very ones who have caught our attention and shaped our hope. The lonely children, the people who are ill, the stigmatized youth, the endangered species, the communities who bear historical wrongs. Perhaps you're among them. In one wildly anachronistic version of Luke's gospel, are these not all processing into the temple? And when we align our lives with our deepest desire, our spirit-led hunger for the world to be made new, are we not all there? Shall we all be there with Simeon and Anna, with Bridget and Mary, and with all who have awakened us to the need for love to triumph? Shall we not all be there to receive into the arms of this world's deep longing the very life of God, the light of the world? By the grace of God, may it be so. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Open Minds podcast. For more information on the Cathedral, its ministries, and how you can get involved, go to www.thecathedral.ca.